On pages 58-59 to 58. Pages 58-59. We have to do a little work on the idea of basic lovership. And we got a little bit of it left, that I don't want to see in it today. Yeah, he says in the beginning that unknown, we regard this part of the realization of contrast with the inward endeavors that go to the fellowship and the staff, we start new fellows, without our regret to manifest. Now what he says is that one thing that he says is that we have a question about the purpose of man being on earth. His whole purpose is to acquire perfection. Now we know that he cannot acquire absolute perfection, but that is just the only dimension. Now, to go, you have to do a little work on the idea of basic lovership. And we've had a little bit of it last time, so I don't want to begin it today. Now, he says in the Bible that a man, when you find a ghost, after you are a ghost, you can't try to tell you, the inward is ever so very spiritual, how to stop, he's that new fellow, you know, as you get to know such a ghost, you think he's that big and very difficult, as he says to know such a ghost, the lesson is that it is very near a pain in the end. Now what he says is that one sentence is so beautiful. We have spoken about the purpose of man being on earth. His whole purpose is to acquire perfection. Now we know that he cannot acquire absolute perfection, but that is with only imagination. But what he can do is, he can strive for the perfection. So what he is expected to do is, to exercise his maximum potential in his striving for perfection. And if he is able to do that, then there is Vaikut. Vaikut is coming as close as one possibly can to Hashem. That is the beginning to Vaikut. And we've got several mentioned several times in the Torah, for it says that Tema Vaikim Hashem Elokeichem, and you who cleave to Hashem, Chayim Kulechem Hayom. You are all of you alive today, cleaving to Hashem. In a dead kobay. So let us be your hope. What does Hashem require of that? So let us be your hope in a dead kobay. To walk in his ways and to cleave to him. And we have a discussion with the team on the subject of the vocals. What does it mean to cleave to Hashem? Now he says, when a person strives the maximum of his potential to acquire perfection, then automatically, he of himself, it leads to him cleaving to Hashem. And as he goes on in his striving for his perfection, so he becomes closer and closer to Hashem. Until striving for perfection and the closeness to Hashem, cleaving to Hashem, becomes one thing. And that is that they love to having a line that I merge at a certain point, I merge, and then it becomes one thing. And that is striving for perfection and cleaving to others. Now, all this belongs in the intellectual. And the purpose of this field is not only the theoretical, but also the practical. And so we have to say something about the practical too. But that will come. And now, on the next page, he goes on to say, he will relinquish you to the first of our slaves who are meeting, to make you a marvelous. You know, Marshall, who slain us, Elo Musiaka is yellow man. He said, enough that I show this. The other is your evil idea, and I say, he says, there was me. You know, him that was the Lord of the Lord. Now, what he's doing there is, he is explaining something that must be well enough. He speaks about perfection, although I have already given you some understanding for them. He speaks about perfection and the striving for perfection. Now, after all, perfection belongs to ourselves. And yet, when we speak about certain qualities that the human being has, we speak about the entire idea that is done with ourselves. But we must say there is something of the approximation to ourselves. In man, man is so great that in some ways he can approximate to ourselves. And explains this, and explains it with an example. He says one has a beautiful tree, tall tree. One knows that the source of everything in that tree is religion. So if we go to the upper part of the tree, and there we will see that from the trunk there goes a branch, a bough, and from the bough there is a branch, and from the branch there is a twig. You take that twig and you know you have taken it from the branch, it belongs to the bough, it is attached to the trunk, and all that stuff from the tree. So in that twig, indeed, in the leaf that is on that twig, we know that its source is the root. And there must be something of that root in the tree. Looks altogether different. But there is something of that, the source of that tree, which is the root. There is something of that in the tree. And that is the way you start with the perception of the tree. Not the type of perception that the Bible says, but there is something of it. As far as the leaf is from the root, but still it's attached to it. And that is how we can get our perception, and that is how we get our focus. That is clearly attachment to ourselves. That's a better word to have to use. That is clearly our attachment to ourselves. And you see, that's a practical demonstration of it. We may see here, the Ashrayas who are meeting, you may see it in Varashanai. We see that the real perfection is only the Hashem. The horse he followed, only the Hashem, and students, Varashanai, the rest of the world. And we find that any deficiency is because of his concealment. So there he is dealing with two concepts, and I want to explain these two concepts to you. The one is called the Oras Pono, and the one is the Lino. The Oras Pono, the translation means illumination. I prefer enlightenment. But I like enlightenment in its etymological sense, dealing with from the word light, enlightenment and concealment. Now, I want to just explain to you something of this, what it means. We find that Hashem is everywhere. We don't see Hashem everywhere. In fact, we go through life sometimes for a certain period in life, and we say, where is Hashem? Just can't see any evidence of Hashem. And yet, there is evidence that it's hostile for love. It is concealed. For example, if a person falls overboard on a ship, doesn't he know this? Suddenly, he finds floating a ball. How did the board come out of this? Months earlier, a ship loaded with timber was going along down the coast. There was a storm, and some of the timber was washed over. This log or this board floated, and when he was drowned, it just was to be found there, and he was able to save himself. Now, is that an act of God or is it? I can say it's not an act of God, if I want to be difficult. And I can say, can't it happen to ship them? Can't it happen that they hit a storm? Can't it happen that the storm passes over timber, over board? Exactly where it does. So by chance it happened that if he fell overboard, it was one of those four. Where is God? And what he says, nevertheless, Hashem is there. But that is unseen. What is all that point? So there is the enlightenment. Hashem brings a cloud of flux into the world. First of all, flux, then flux, then light. Look at that on it. Look at that on it. Chaos. Darkness. Let the light go on it. And so, in order that you should have mastered true potential, in order to answer. So we see that God deals with us in two ways. Either through error or enlightenment. We don't invite you to see it, to see God. Or he deals with us the effectiveness that is concealed. Now, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Aaron and Miriam and the Bnei Yisrael in Egypt, when Hashem took them out of Egypt, was it Erev Pono or was it Erev Pono or was it Hashem Pono? Was it enlightenment or Hashem? Which was it? Better if it was, if we are not deserving of it. Just like the Father, who's got a bad son and he gets very annoyed with him, goes attacking and the balance of everything. Eventually, he drives him out of the house. In the very olden days, they used to send them, and that used to happen in the better families amongst the Englishmen in England, when that used to happen, then the black sheep of the family, they would go to South Africa. I still get some of these black sheep, and they did remarkably well there. And they suddenly became very important people. And that is what they used to do. Now, a very great man sends his son to someone that nothing to do with him, put him on the ship. They tell him, now you're on your own, you'll get to the Earth, then pin down in your pocket, but you get no more money. It's hundreds, thousands and thousands. Now this is the last 10 pounds, and see what you can do. What would the father do? He writes to somebody and says, look, I just keep an eye on myself. And then, just see what he does himself. But if you do, don't think. But just see what he does himself. And that he has just keep an eye on it. people driving the business healthy with the
that is
the child doesn't see the Ferrari burn. There's an overhead value behind the door. And so, once he gets there, the child doesn't deserve it. The child that deserves it, the father is there and helps him all the time. That child didn't deserve it. That he learned for so long. So then he bears for you as somebody and gets there. Well, when we were able to get back Eretz Israel after the war, the very great trouble, and war after war was fought, the first war that was fought was the war of independence. Now my wife and I were in Israel shortly after the war of independence. And it was a very different Israel from what it is today. And everywhere where one went, there was sound of the war of independence. The road from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, which was the old road, but two burnt out banks all along the road. Wherever you went, you saw. And they tell that the miracle of the war of independence. They had very little. We had very little. The Arabs had very much more. So what happened? They made a lot of noise. They had armaments that were very, very ineffective, but they made a lot of noise. The Arabs thought it was the atom bomb and they just ran. There came the war, the 7-day war, the 6-day war, that started, there came the 6-day war. Now I remember very clearly what was taking place. America says we remain neutral in deed, in thought and in word. In deed, in word and in thought. We remain neutral. No help from anything. I read then in Time magazine what the experts, the military experts were saying. They said that in 10 days' time they can't do anything yesterday. By that time the Arabs didn't battle. That was the prediction. Now this was by experts. In 10 days' time. I was worried about something else. The 6-day war thing started on a Sunday. I was just worried how they can get it back before Shabbos. But they did. They did get back before Shabbos. They got back before Shabbos and the war was won. Now, these two wars, was that Herod's warning or was it his day? Hold on. It's still his day. He didn't have Herod's warning. We didn't have a lobby who told us that this is going to happen, that this is what's going to be, to such an extent that Reagan, who was now the Minister of Defense, and it was then the Minister, the leader of the army, said that he was given a doctorate by the Hebrew University, said now we can see what the Israeli army can do. Put it all down to the Israeli army. But it's just saying for me, we don't deserve it, we haven't got it. That is what the Rambam says. You are not deserving of it. Shira, do you want to say anything other than that?
No,
you would say the same thing.
No, I was going to say that I thought that even if, I guess it shows the same thing, even if it was, it would not have to kind of really deny it. You would say, yeah, it's not really so much there, because we're not really on a level to see that it's not.
Well, all that, but it's just, that is what the Rambam says. It is, I said, it's not going to do every generation making meditation. Therefore, we've got paper. We've got paper to keep paper in all its details and to say that we go through all this because in every generation this is not going to take place. And that we should have it, that it's for the sign and the notice we should always have it, that this is not to place. It's not the idea. So I'm trying to explain to you the two ways in which Hashem manifests himself to us. The one way is through us, through the Irat Ponim, and the other one is through Esther. You know, there is a passage in the Torah where the Hashem says, seven times the family says, and the upsteal, and I will hide my face from you. And the Gemara says, from where do you know that Esther, Esther is from the Torah? Now, Esther can't be from the Torah because Esther took place so long afterwards. Purim took place so long after Pesach. So how can Esther be from the Torah? And then Hashem says, I will hide my face of fear. And it's perfect. Exactly the same as Esther. So people think that because it mentions that Haskir and Akun is Esther, that's it, he's always thinking that that's not what it means. What it means is that when Hashem says, I will hide myself from you, and you go through a very hard time, you won't see Hashem. That is what happens in the days of Puri. The woman wanted to kill all the Yehudim. And it was going very badly. It was getting worse and worse. And that was a scariest point. Esther's point. Couldn't see God in the day. So the afternoon, that it became obvious that there was a shame. But at the time, it wasn't at all obvious. Is that for his own evil lady in the table, or is the idea that if we are only worthy, then Hashem manifesting to himself to us the best game plan? Is that clear? Yes, the need for sure, all that honor is going to tell them, this creature which means this human being, that stands equally between perfection and deficiency. So him things that I will read out of there, which are respectively the consequences of enlightenment and happiness. The new country that can be used by Hashem and from the Hashem, the man who also is born for Hashem, he says, if man strengthens himself in the opposition of perfection, and he does it himself, it's not given to God to have to be attached to that. That is the greatest joy and greatest happiness a person can possibly experience. Now, when I deal with this subject with you, I do everything I can to be what we call a guide El Hadar, to bring my research. Those people are very happy within themselves. If there is unhappiness, it is unhappiness because they are so taken up with their work that they cannot relate to anything outside their work. But every society cannot understand that he is only interested in one fragment of the other. So that is what our purpose is. Now I'm explaining that to you because of those two little words in the end of the two days, and deriving both pleasure and perfection from his goodness. In the end of the two days, man derives great joy from the goodness of God. Now, you know, one can enjoy everything that there is upon earth. One can enjoy the beautiful scenery. One can enjoy the fruit. One can enjoy the vegetables. One can enjoy the sight of the flowers. One can enjoy their fragrance. It makes a very great difference if you know that this is a creation of God,
and it really as if he were who had to endure. That's what he says. A very great difference is made than just eating it and not being aware of it. And that is the reason that he put the blue sky. To make us aware of it. And then created it and created it. As we will see in the future. But he left. They say, you were the tears in your own, Hashem, you were able to show shlomis if you saw me, Shem, and I was. But he won't say, I believe you, Shem, and I was, but the Kuna, Shem, he said, you know, but he wants to show us the shlomis and the shlomis with your shlomis, and I am, Shem, he can have shlomis to the other side. And he says now, on this fourth paragraph, which is the last paragraph of this chapter, the last at one, begins a summation of the whole chapter. And he says, now, since all these various things that we find in the world are there for perfection and deficiency, and you in paragraph 2 on pages 44 and 45, page on 44, 2 on 45. Each one goes towards his side. The good in my body is elevated together with it. The year also goes to Odom and Mishalem, 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 Mishalem. And that is the man that is the year also, or the beauty of Mishalem, the needs of the Lord. And so that's what he was. The Udom of Rio Asher, he's out of the human of God are there, and he calls this disagree with us, and we disagree here, don't we disagree with him. So he says, that is the person. Now, let's say, since that is the person, man, now that is something, as I said, is which of all that is, so that anything should be ready, so that not the whole she all my she must have a tear say you could have been the inside of the inside of female elahimus yamimo elish. So there is no question that the most important category is inside and makes all this more clear. The man has called and his vices and his passions and in the only of his own shape. In the 60s, the prevalent idea that I've told you many times, I was told, you do exactly as you please. You may not please a person next to you, that's a problem with me. And if you think it's me, I may be the person. But right down to the bottom and see what's happening there. The tree of life is here, but God, the way of the tree of life. So we have to hear it. But let us first, example, that. But if you really do that, and you come to a place where you're going to it, didn't he? He was with angels, angels don't eat. He didn't. He goes further than that. What Hashem wants. Kingship. There is something of Hashem. Hashem has given something of it. We get our idea of what things are in reality. And in reality we see from Moses to Joseph in the books of Moses to America is, and what he says is never the same. That is what God does. As he is so careful when he gets with the king. To you, what the Rambam says, we see as follows. We speak to us and he's always joined to us. He speaks to us and he places us in his infinite. As we've explained things down unto us. So everything that is in God to behave in our everyday life, that we will speak that before you on which to start. Now,
I'm
He is going to give it up. Of course, if they were dead, not to speak of what they get. Because they order the power. And the evil has been saved up. So there is a
power.
And what he does is he continues and he watches. These are the lawful servants. And they look for the people of God. He does not have anything to answer. It is impossible, not to get longer than human health and health, that it is I don't think that that's the typical answer. I spoke about that. Other than that, we have some sense of us here in the earth. But if we do something with these letters, then we are organized. Let's keep meeting them. We love our children. How can we stop with them? But how could we arrive now? What a charity.
He said, if anyone would come and say, I'm a prophet, and he would deny them, once you're a prophet, you would not believe it. So that certainly cannot be denied. He was given prerogative by 600,000, and that's if anyone would arrive now. I'm a prophet, no sure signs of knowing voice, you remember the Constitution, today. It cannot happen because this is a fact that occurred, and you cannot debate on a fact that happened. Okay. Dhammapada gets into an area which is another very controversial area, which he debated with many medieval commentators, and this debate was whether the law can say forever or forever, or could possibly be changed at some future time, defined by the Messiah, who knows, not in the normal course of events, but were it natural laws that were in fact binding forever. And this was a great debate between Maimonides and several other scholars of that period. Okay. It is clearly explicitly set forth in the Torah that the ordinances will endure forever, without variation, diminution, or addition. Hence, So the verse has the intent that to fulfill all the rest of the Torah is an obligation incumbent forever. As it is said, it is an everlasting statute throughout the generation. Okay. So it also said it is not in heaven, and hence the inference that a prophet is forbidden to make innovations in the Torah. Accordingly, if anyone should arrive, whether among the Gentiles or among the Israelites, and showing his signs and tokens, declare that God has sent to him, has sent him to add a precept to the Torah. They took away a precept from the Torah, they give him interpretations of any of the commandments, such as we have not heard from Moses, or should assert that the commandments are given to Israel are not a perpetual obligation, that we should change them, then such a man is a false prophet because he acts to deny the prophecy of Moses. Okay. Well, I'm sure there's no need, but I'm not going to do anything. So he says if someone comes out and says he's going to change anything, he's not a prophet, he's a false prophet. You can see, in fact, clearly in my mind, he's heard the 1200 or 1100 years after Jesus, and I think you can see some hints in his prophetic word, sort of an oblique reference to what happened many years ago, that changing the character of the law and saying that I'm a prophet, I can do it, that doesn't wash. And my mind is, I think, of course, we're very aware of this, and was writing about it. There's also another, a lot of other things going on at the time in the area of prophecy, and that was, of course, in science. We talked about a very dependent on which this community which had a great deal of trouble. There was a person who wrote from the book of science. And in Siena, he was a prophetic message, very closely related. And I think that part of his statement was, in fact, addressed to this problem of the fourth Messiah scheme that was arriving and saying that there was a Messiah following him. Okay. So too, a prophet who acts contrary to his own statements or suppresses the prophetic message incurs the penalty of death. So once you've got the prophetic message, you can't say, well, I don't believe it. And this is the best example would be with Jonah. Jonah who said, leave me out of this, I don't want to get involved. Find someone else to do this, it's not for me, right? You know, this is not my job, this is to do all the time. That can't be. If the message is given to you, you have an obligation to deliver it, and you don't have a choice whether you're going to accept Mission Impossible, should you decide to accept it. You don't have that choice. Okay. Okay, now. Now this is a question of what exactly is in Ripley's Torah, and one which I sat down and I remember that I was not mentioning. I think about the instructions that were shown by Rabbi Torah, one of which is the fact that miracles are used to show faith, in this case. So we all, let me briefly summarize that Torah in that Torah we recited yesterday. There is a tremendous problem of Jewish people who are worshiping Baal, worshiping the idol of Baal. This idol worship was encouraged by the life of the king of Israel at the time. The king of Israel was Ahab, his wife was Jezebel, and which is where the king comes from. She was not a very nice lady. In fact, she was trying to wipe out all the prophets and kill all the prophets, and the Jewish people were following Baal. Ahab himself was not such a bad guy, but his wife was the one who was running the show there, and she decided that she was going to take care of the prophets of the time. But Elijah, seeing what was going on, was sent by God to get the Jews back to Judaism and to away from God. Again, I mentioned that we cannot, I don't think, they understand the attraction of idol worship. Idol worship is not something which attracts us. And so maybe our life can be long to do that against the Torah, but I'm sure that idol worship is the enemy. Again, it's a hard thing to understand, but perhaps we have to understand that different generations have different idols, and what may be difficult for one generation to understand is easy for another. Whatever our idols are today, I suspect in 200 years people may find it very difficult to believe that they were ever attracted to them. But nevertheless, there were a lot of people involved in idol worship, and Elijah was sent by God, he rose up to Mount Carmel, he tells Ahab, he meets Ahab on Mount Carmel, so he didn't have a conference. He's the only priest, and he goes with him, he has 250 priests together, and they were both going to build an altar on Mount Carmel. Elijah built his altar, and the prophets, the Baal, built their altar, and he said, we don't have a conference. He puts the Baal, the prophet of Baal, I want you to try to burn up the sacrifice. No fire, say the magical incantation, you can make sacrifice, and they have to listen, you can come in and do that. They talk about it, they try, it's like they huff and they puff and they keep going, because it wouldn't happen. And everybody starts to mock them. Because, yeah, you can't do this, and, you know, show your power, show what power you have. And then, right of a sudden, call them when he's God, and puff, the thing's going back, and the Jewish people said, I've shown you the thing, the words of God, the words of God, which is how we can prove them. So far, the church, because that was something that throughout generations have seen as a very important thing. But one of the problems there is that Elijah, during the sacrifice, during the time of the temple, had another altar, and it was strictly permitted. The parents of that was dead. He created another altar at the same time that the temple stood. So there's some resistance. So the question was, how could Elijah do that? If you look at the English commentaries in that story, you see some reference to the Elisha, an exception to the biblical way that can be made. Once in a very while by a very great scholar. So now, my mom just said, if someone comes to say he's a prophet, he says, I'm going to change one word of color and say, goodbye, or prophet. I went to the Elijah and Elihu, Jesus, why are the word of color? And in fact, if you're a biblical word, say, you need color, shall I have any other drummer, any other altars, it's time to do something this good. Okay, so also, if one who is known to us as a prophet, now remember, it has to be known to us as a prophet, so this caveat of the violation, the occasional violation of biblical law, apart from one who has already established the status as a prophet. So, which is different than someone who says, I am a prophet and I want you to do this. He hasn't established his credibility, he hasn't taken that to push along with him to establish his credibility. So also, if one who is known to us as a prophet gives us the transgress on a certain occasion, any precept of the Torah, or several such precepts, whether minor or major, it is our duty to obey him. So thus we report by the ancient sages on the authority of tradition, that if the prophet tells him to transgress the precepts of the Torah, as Elijah did on Mount Carmel, obey him in all matters, unless the commandment be to worship idols. This is no exception. He doesn't worship idols, it doesn't matter who he is, and how great a prophet he is, it's all over, then you know he's a great prophet. But any other commandment of the Torah, he says to violate him, then you may. Okay? So too, if a prophet attempts to assume any of the institutions that have come down to us by tradition, or in reference to a new camp, he says that the Almighty has instructed him as to what was a decision, and that the rule is according to the view of a certain teacher, who's a false prophet. This is another interesting concept. The men, by the way, that this abrogation of the law only applies to Rav Shah, is only for a temporary specific time. Someone who abrogates even one law and says this is a criminal, that is not a false prophet. But if he's already a prophet and he says for a temporary, for a short period of time, you will not be in the law, then you have to follow him. And do what he says, unless out of worship, in which case there's no exception. There's another concept, and that is that the Torah is not in the domain of God. There's a famous Talmudic statement that says, Torah lo b'shamayim. The Torah is not in God's domain. What does that mean? It's such a very cryptic statement. It means that the methods of biblical exegesis and the debate of the scholars in the time, they cannot be solved by resorting to God. There's a very famous Talmudic story where the scholars were having a debate. And one of the scholars said, said that my opinion is right. And all the other scholars said, no, the opinion is not right. And he said, no, I insist, I am right. You're all wrong, my opinion is right. That's what they disagreed with him. And what he did is he said, okay, if I'm right, let there be thunder and lightning. And of course, there was thunder and lightning. And the other scholars didn't believe him. He said, that's a good thing. And he did more than that. He knew exactly what they were. Maybe he's going to give you the tree. The tree started moving and the money was important. That's something that is, And he did all these miracles and they were not convinced. He started to go into the thing. And from there, he reduced the Lord. You can't ask God to show you the answer on the date of the Torah between men. Even if it's the date of the Torah, if it's the date between scholars, then you cannot work to God to show you the right answer. Yes, my mind is good. The prophet comes and says, I know that the debate that exists in the Torah, what does he say? So too, the prophet attempts to assume the only institutions that have come down to us by tradition, or even reference to a new point, he says, someone who has no factory age. He asserts that the Almighty has instructed him as to what was the decision, and that the rule is according to the view of a certain teacher, he is a false prophet. So we don't resolve any questions for you. They even accept that, by the way, and that's what you know from Mashiach, David and Mashiach, and that is a famous Talmudic statement in Tosafot, where they got into a very elaborate debate and they did not know what the answer was. So they came, there is a law that says Tosafot, if he was an abstinent, then the Tishbi retires, Tishbi's got better. Tishbi, the Tishbite, Elijah, will answer all questions and problems. In other words, it's beyond our scope to give you the answer to this question. When, in the time of the Messianic age, Elijah comes, he will answer the question. But, and that was generally done on theoretical points. There's an argument, for instance, of Bilal and Shammai, talking about the Shabbat, that it would be better if God had never created the world or not, and he sent the child on that to so take it. By the way, that may sound funny that they would argue about those things, but it is not, because the Talmud and Talmudic scholars share nothing if you already can search the truth. So if something does not have factor of relevance, it could be an important step on search for truth. And you will therefore find them arguing on those minute things, because they felt that although they could not find relevance now, this method would have been able to do. This in fact is the methodology of pure scientific research, that you may not find, and you may not be looking for an answer, but you pursue the problem and you never know that it will lead you. And that's a really important concept to understand. There was a reference in New York Times to the debate in the Israeli Knesset, and there was some logical reference saying that the debate was almost Talmudic, meaning it was still there, and someone wrote a letter, a professor of Talmud, in the world, saying that Talmudic is not what you think it means. It doesn't mean arguing on irrelevant points that have no consequence, it means really searching for truth. So that was the meaning of that, there was an accurate description of the debate. So much about prophecy, but let me conclude with this. As the Quran is predicted by a prophet, Dr. Thompson says, here's what this is going to happen. If, for example, it foretells that the death of a certain individual, or the birth of a particular year, there will be plague, famine, or war, and so forth, the non-fulfillment of this forecast could not prove the prophetic character. Because God can change his mind. You know, principle that tragedy does not have to happen. It's conditional upon people changing whatever the prophet says needs to be changed. So if he says the great destruction will come and the destruction will not come, then say, aha, I'm still here, the lightning didn't get you, you're not a prophet. Congregate the says, if you foretell a good event to occur, and a good event does not occur, then you know it's a false prophet. He's taking the attention that it's a potential event, you should always be prophesying good. Okay. Finally, he continues that a prophet whose prophetic status has been attested to by another prophet, it could be accepted as such, and no further investigation is needed. For most of that, for Joshua was always recognized as a prophet, even before he had shown any sign. So the final way of showing prophecy is that you get a personal recognition, a co-sign or a prophet. One is maybe many of the prophets says, I know him to be a prophet, and that's good enough. So in conclusion about the Maimonides' concept of prophecy, I think he sees it as a higher level of consciousness. It's a state which one reaches by totally involving oneself in spiritual matters.
I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to that the quality wasn't there and we didn't have the quality. Because what can happen is that somebody solitary or simply somebody could say, but these are themselves and think that they're only telling the truth when they tell something to happen, they're only telling the truth.
Okay.
reason of philosophy, the last chapter in the book you perpetrated for annually, especially to the north, is that the parts of that chapter are philosophical, if they were the conflict of Messiah. So here is the election of the king, the honor, the political work of the entirety. The army is used to be taxing, the waging of war, the right to vindicate the king,
the church of the God for a certain person that was done. So
Ramana says, it would be no different. The oneness of the room, that the holy person is the leader. Now he goes to the firm, the Ajivasan, the place he was going, the Dakshinam, the Nisala. Nisala is listening to the story of the Buddha, the creation of the spirit. He will be able to come to gather together all of you in our area of the gathering. He is seen in front of that master's kingdom, but later on, he will be thinking about the evolution. But he will not see, he will not see the spirit that he is recognized. He will not see the justice that originally is common. Therefore, the plan will be disclosed as the way originally. The second difference is the various practices of the radical leader and the human leader will all be restored. He will then be able to bring together the level of man to the soul. The victim is not the reason in the Shura, it is not a way of coming, the mind is the moment, a sense of teaching of the prophet. We do not have to be reproof, however, that the prophets, speakers, and Messiah suggest that all the writings are true of this country. One might be very, very following, in other words, making friends to be the Messiah of the time, do not think that the Messiah will have to become part of the world system. We will not necessarily treat the person in any way. We will be the best guide for life for anything else like that. This guy was believing in the lesson, but not as far as inside the circumstances. We work on the very acting that a great slave of Krishna who really takes care of them to prove that our father was in the shadow, and even him, as far as carrying on. Don't be a great slave of the generation of sin that assumes that them to prove that the fire, and then consider his kill because of his sin. Now, this is good. This is because he was killed.
But in fact, the only ability to change in the world is the human nature of change.
people will not want to kill each other, they might be the rest of the power that will have even made it. That is that, if you look at it, if you know the world, and you see the end of the world, you know that the science has literally everything that is in the world. You see the crowd, you can do a lot of things, but it has not been able to change the invention. I think what is missing is our memory, is that in fact, not even we can use our memory. Use it rationally in terms of saying that the order of the world will not change, that we will not see
the soul, the dependence that is present by the wisdom, I'm going to go to the next one. to give the existing as it fits, you have to give it different.
And give you a new place to be also to be a solid place to be a 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 place to be a
As you go to an idea of the falseness of the human condition, you'll be able to write it down. You'll be able to memorize. You'll be able to be given a multiple choice examination to give you the right answers. And you know what it's really about. Does it mean you can believe that this is God. That's the inward spirit. And in all these things, the concept that is quantified is inward spirit. Each one of us. Now, I find it to be pleasant working with you. Because these are the things that I can discuss with you. If I couldn't discuss them with you, I'd find this a terrible thing. When I started, that's what it was. I never looked forward to the Wednesday nights. If I looked forward to it, it was with dread. You don't know what I'm interested in. And that is postponed. And of course, if you've got seven people in a group and two new ones come, then you don't know. Because the seven become like the two new ones. You need them. If you've got 15 people in a group and two new ones come, that's it. It's surprising how the two leaders put in the same time. If I take a teaspoon of sugar and I put it into a cup of coffee, in no time the sugar is dissolved. But if I take a cup of coffee and I put it into a 5 pound bag of sugar, and I put them into a 5 pound bag of sugar, so this is already a state of meditation. When you people come in, take them into the gym, it doesn't have to be done. So, even if you found it difficult,
also, I wonder if somebody could volunteer And we didn't have no blood bank, so it's so together. And when we come in, we will be given a number, and the other number will be put into the box or whatever. And then when we have this the number that is drawn from the box, the person knows that number will help us do. I think it would be too much for them to be taking the money to contact with this, but if somebody could offer to just go to the extra dinner and ask this person pays to give them the money back. Would you be able to do that with the thank you very much indeed? So that's it, please. I also want to ask you, the other things that you can, which is interesting, the other thing that you can, the number of the reason of this, and in fact, will be responsible for the future. So the other has people with any kind of description, or still people with any means or not.
Ladies, I want to take this opportunity of thanking those who called on my wife, phoned to ask her how she was getting on, and those who actually came and helped her. The time that she has been disclosed on her behalf and in my behalf, and thank you very much indeed. We appreciate the consideration. William, thank you very much for the card you got.
Yes, we received it yesterday. We really did.
Yes. Yes.
I thought I was getting it.